pray before we start. Father, we just want to glorify you and just thank you for what you've already been doing in us this morning, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would continue to move through us, continue to water our hearts, continue to grow that which you have planted, Lord Jesus. Father, but that your heart would come through this morning in every area, Lord God. From worship to the things that I say, to the fellowship afterwards, even through announcements, Jesus, that it's always focused and pointing towards Jesus. It's always about you, Jesus. It's always about you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sure, good morning. Exciting morning. Yes, I got out of bed this morning. I was so excited. I think Margot thought I was a bit crazy. I was jumping around the house and I just felt this exuberance, this zeal. I went running with Ant on Friday. It was Friday. And we were just chatting. It was such lack of fellowship together, but like I'm not as fit as I used to be, and Ant still is. Ant's pretty fit, and we're climbing this hectic hill, and I'm just like, he was behind me because I think he didn't want to run off ahead of me. And I'm just like, every step I could just feel, burn, baby, burn. And he was just laughing at me the whole way. But I was just like, man, what a burn for Jesus. As it encouraged me, just like, yes, we came off that run together just feeling so pumped, like, because we're encouraging each other. I think he thinks I'm a bit crazy there. Oh, man, it was good. But that's what we, like, there is something of that we can catch from each other. We can stir each other up. We really can. And I want to encourage you guys, look around. Look around. Look what God's doing. Have you noticed what God's doing? God's adding people to us. He is. People visiting, something's stirring, and the enemy doesn't like it, and he does whatever he can to derail that, and he'll do whatever he can to distract us from that. So I know what God is on the move. I know that. So last week, just a quick recap. I shared last week on hospitality, and I told you guys that we are sharing into hospitality over the next few weeks. And I'm quite encouraged because, as I shared with you guys, this word of hospitality is not really, it's not really about just giving a meal for somebody. It's actually the gospel. Hospitality is the gospel. And if you look, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but if you look through the Bible, like, can you do a search on the word hospitality? You probably only find it in the scriptures that refer to it as a qualification for leadership, actually. But so it doesn't come up all that much. But if you look at the Bible, it's this theme that runs right throughout, from the beginning to the end. It's like another example of that is like the word Trinity. We're talking about it. If you search the word Trinity, you actually won't find it in the Bible, but we know God is a triune God. We serve a Trinitarian God. It's the theme of the Bible right throughout, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's encouraged me because it's really like, it's this reflection of the kingdom. So let's quickly recap last week. There were 4 points, and it was last week we spoke about on what is hospitality. And those 4 points were, it's something we do for Jesus. It's a practical action. It should be done for the least of these, so no favoritism involved. And it's of eternal significance. You remember those points? So this week we want to look a little bit more at why are we hospitable? Why do we do it? And you can the two are kind of overlap a bit, but my main focus is really on why. And I was challenged with this, and I was just thinking a little bit about it, and I was like, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example. If you just are hospitable, and you just invite people into your life, and you live out what we understand hospitality to be, you could be reflecting the kingdom better than somebody that's preaching on a Sunday morning or an apostle or a prophet or something like that, because that is the kingdom. That's this theme. So if that's what God has given you to be faithful with, just being hospitable, you can actually do a better job at reflecting the kingdom by just being hospitable than anything else. And it was a bit of a mind warp for me. I was like, yo, that's, you don't like, you know, we often pray, Lord, give me the nations. Give me the nations. I want to go to the nations. I want to touch the nations. But when he brings the nations to us, we can reach the nations, right? So, I felt like the Holy Spirit saying this. We talk about this thing. We spoke about it last week. We're talking about it this week. And we're going to speak about it again next week. It's because it's not only something that we want to know. It's something we want to do. It's something, it's a value that needs to be seared into our hearts and onto our hearts. I felt like I saw a picture of the Holy Spirit taking us, you know those things they brand cattle with? You know that hot prodding iron or whatever it's called? I saw the Holy Spirit taking this hot steel branding iron with a value of hospitality on it and him searing it into our hearts. That it's who we are, it's not what we know. It's how we live our lives. So that's why we're going to speak about this a bit more. We're going to look at it from different angles and we're going to practice it. So let's go specifically to Luke 24, 28 to 32. And I want to read this scripture. It says, so, and now this, just a little bit of context. This is just after Jesus has risen from the dead. The story is entitled The Road to Emmaus. And a lot of you might know it, is two of Jesus' disciples are walking along the road. They're not named. Are walking along the road, and Jesus appears to him, or them. And they don't know that it's him, actually. And he begins to talk with them. And let's read the story. He obviously begins to share with them, and then obviously they begin to draw near to the village to which they're going. And this is the rest of the scripture. It says, so they drew near to the village to which they were going, and this is Jesus now. He acted as if he was going further. So he pretends that he's going on. But these two disciples, they urge him strongly to stay, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did our hearts not burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened up the scriptures? So, like, this scripture is amazing, because Jesus, he goes with them, he's chatting with them, and he pretends he's going on his journey, and he doesn't force himself in. He doesn't, like, it's getting late. He doesn't look for a place to stay. He pretends he's going on. He waits for them to invite him in. And on them inviting him in, only then do their eyes get opened. It's interesting. You know, like, imagine they didn't invite him in. They would have lost out. And that actually is the title of my preach. It's Don't Miss Out. Don't miss out. Imagine they're just like, okay, cool, carry on, and Jesus goes, and they would have missed it completely. He says, so they had to invite him in. Jesus waits for this invitation. They have to invite him in. And when they invite him in, if you see, they, as they're walking on the road, now, can you just imagine their demeanor? They were hopeless. Their king, their savior, even along the lines of their conversation, is we believed him to be the Messiah, but he's now dead. They're hopeless. They've got no hope in their heart. But when they invite him in and their eyes are opened, hope returns. And they even say to each other, did our hearts not burn within us? So I want to show you, there's a picture of, he takes this hopeless heart, we invite him in, he opens our eyes to him, and our hearts burn for him. There's this burning that begins to happen. And again, I love it. That word just keeps coming up a lot. I also want to tie it with that story of Abraham in Genesis 18. And we're not going to read that whole scripture. I'm just going to tell you the story. I'm sure you guys all know it. So Abraham is sitting at the door of his tent and sees three strangers. And he runs over to them and he says, "Where are you guys going? Come sit under the tree. Let me get you something to eat. Let me get you something to drink." He's so hospitable to them. And he shows them, he draws them in. And actually, whether those are angels, a picture of God, I don't know. I can't answer you exactly. But something happens. Because when he does that, whether it's God speaking there or whether he speaks through those guys, something happens. God shows Abraham purpose in two ways. He shows him personal purpose. He shows him that he's going to use him to be a father of nations, his inheritance. He tells him, uses the guys to prophesy over him, saying, "This time next year, Sarah will be pregnant." We all know Abraham and Sarah couldn't have children. But he gives Abraham purpose and hope. And then, because there's relationship involved, because there's this, like, okay, this person took time to actually time out for me, in a sense, he shows them another purpose. He shows them what he's going to go and do to Sodom and Gomorrah. Interesting. Because those were the angels on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, they say, "I'm on my way to Sodom and Gomorrah to go and see what's been going on there, because the prayer has been against him. A lot of wickedness has been going on. I actually want to destroy it." But he brings Abraham in on that. Interesting. It's God doesn't have to do that. Why does he do that? Like, it's interesting. It's just a weird scenario. He doesn't have to tell Abraham what he's going to be doing. It's got nothing to do with Abraham in a sense. But it does begin to unfold. Lot is there. But really, that's not, he's just like, and Abraham's referred to as a friend of God. And he says to him, "Come, let me show you my purpose." So again, there's that, we see those, both of those stories, they're tied in together. As we invite Jesus in, our eyes become opened and he reveals purpose to us. See, there's, Robin might back me on this. Where's Robin? See, as people, there are three things that motivate us. And this is good parenting techniques. It might be good dog training techniques. It's just a good technique. And they talk about the three R's. Have you ever heard about the three R's? Yes. So what are they? They're relationship, retribution, dum dum dum, and reward. It's an interesting thing. So what motivates us? So remember what I'm talking about, the why. Why are we doing this? What motivates us in those three things? In the relationship part, yes, there is a retribution part. It's healthy fear of the Lord. And then there's also reward. So let's just touch on those three things. And those are really are our main three things this morning that we want to allow the Holy Spirit to sear into your hearts. See, don't say, "God, speak to me," but then you're not prepared to open your heart. See, that's exactly that picture of the road to Emmaus. And that, through relationship, God speaks to us. In James 2, it warns us against favoritism. It encourages us to work through relationship. This is a cool story. Lazarus, you all know the story of Lazarus that died. Jesus loved him. Jesus was moved so much so when he heard Lazarus was dead, he wept. Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible, eh? Jesus wept. That's when Lazarus died. Interestingly enough, why? What made Lazarus special? Lazarus was like a personal family friend of Jesus. Whenever Jesus came to town, he would stay with Lazarus. He would stay with his family. He had built a relationship with him. There's another great story. It's Elisha. I think it is Elisha. I always get confused between Elisha and Elijah. In 2 Kings 4, 8 to 3. So Elisha and the Shunammite woman. This woman, she's a lady, she's married, and she's got a family, but she recognizes Elisha as a man of God, and she invites him into the house. She builds a little house on top of her pandoki, like So I think she built like a little pandoki on top of her house. What is that? Like a little penthouse for him. No, they had flat roofs, and they were able to build like a little place for him on the roof. And whenever he came to town, she would invite him in, and he would stay with them, and they built relationship. Can you imagine? Elisha must have had a personal relationship with him. They fed him. They must have spent time around the table together. They built relationship together. And what happens? Shimonites, I think it's a little girl, gets sick and dies. Jesus takes compassion. What? Sorry, your son. Sorry, I'm just paraphrasing the story. Thank you. His son dies. What happens? Jesus has compassion. He heals him, raises him to life again. It's incredible, eh? Relationship. Relationship. Jesus tells us we're his friends. And if we obey what we're his friend, if we obey what he commands, he commands hospitality. So friends of Jesus are hospitable. Get it? That's a relationship. Friends of Jesus are hospitable because we practice what we preach. Remember what I said, showed what I spoke about last week? Is does our practice match our theology? Are we practicing what we're saying? See, it becomes a lordship issue. It's about obedience. Obedience to him, but it's obedience through relationship. Through relationship. And that came through very strongly this morning. His grace and his goodness that draws us to, and his kindness that draws us to repentance. It's not offenses. As leaders, we have this saying or phrase. And we don't want to build fences around people. We want to dig wells. If you build fences around people, you're trying to keep them in. If you dig a well, the thirsty will come and drink. And for us, it's about digging wells. It's about that the flow of the Holy Spirit. It's about when people come, they taste the Spirit. It's not you must do this, you must do that, you must do this. And even that's a picture of salvation, really. God doesn't say you we've got a choice. But his goodness, his life is what draws us in. Then we get to the second R, retribution. That wasn't funny. Somebody laugh, please. So last week we talked about that scripture separating the sheep from the goats. Now there's a harsh reality here. Like in that scripture, God speaks about eternal damnation. That's quite hectic. That's big, strong language. So when he separates the sheep from the goats, we need to ask ourselves, who are we? Those who do the will of the Father, follow me. It's if we're not loving one another, if we're not being hospitable to one another and strangers, inviting strangers into home, these type of things, we're spitting in the face of Jesus, because that's who he is. Remember I shared last week, that's the message of the gospel, is God was so hospitable that he invited us in. In Matthew 10:14, it says this, it said, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, this is when Jesus sent out the disciples. He says, if anyone will not listen to you or to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment for that town. It's quite interesting that Jesus pulls it back to comparing it to Sodom and Gomorrah again. It shows the weight behind this thing. It shows how highly it's valued. Look at Rahab in the story of Jericho. You guys know the story of Jericho? When Joshua take the promised land, they walk around the town of Jericho 7 days, and then the last time 7 days. But before that, when the spies had gone out, Rahab had offered them shelter. She had helped them escape. And they said to her, I think it was a little scarlet ribbon or whatever, just tie this on your window, and on the day when we come against the city, you will be spared. Because she opened her home, because she was hospitable, She allowed them, she drew them in, and she was actually spared. Jesus says in Matthew 7:23, it's not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father. He goes a little bit further on to say, I never knew you if you don't do what I've shown you. Those are quite motivating factors, eh? Now everyone's like, yo, okay. This is how, I mean, guys, this we people, this is how, like, we humans, this is how we respond. It's through relationship, we draw near, through a healthy fear of God, a healthy understanding of actually this is eternal consequence. And then finally, the one we shouldn't be aiming for, but it's reward. We're like, you know, I said, this is good parenting or dog techniques. You get your dog to sit, you flick him a piece of biltong. This is our reward. But it really is. It has rewards in this life and the next. And God is so good. He doesn't just expect us to live what this life he's called us without actually drawing us into something more. Oh, this is, the scripture is so interesting. In Luke 16:9, it says, use your worldly wealth to make friends. It's an interesting scripture. It's a bit of a mind, like, what? Did you just say that? Is that in the Bible? It's interesting, eh? What? Use that which you've been given in this life, in this world, to make friends. Why? For the kingdom. To show them the kingdom. To show them the truth. Draw them in. It's not to use them, but it's use your wealth to draw those in. And wealth is, you don't have to be a millionaire to be wealthy, in a sense. Your wealth is that what you have. So it's sharing that what you have with somebody. If you got, Karen brought some milk. She listened last week, and Foundation, she rocked up with some milk. So I said, I didn't have milk. She brings milk. I loved that. I was like, yes, you were listening. Thank you. Sorry, I'm not. But like for me, I've got, whatever I've got, I'll share with you. I'm not a wealthy man, but whatever I've got, I'll share with you. And in that point as well, in Psalms 28, it says this, ask of me and I will give you the nations. So how many times, like I've often spoken to people and like they've got such a burning heart and a passion for the nations and they want to touch the nations. God's bringing the nations to us. Amen. We have an opportunity to change lives. It's interesting having this conversation and just in the week, often when we go, we get blessed. It's a bit more difficult to host than to be hospitable. The people that you are hosting or being hospitable to are the ones being blessed. Their lives change when they come. Your life changes when you go. It's interesting, eh? It will be, I mean, they will be blessed as well, but I've seen it, and I've experienced that myself. When I go on outreach, often it's for my own faith. My own faith builds up. I get excited. I see what God's doing, and it's like, yo. And I actually get back feeling stronger than I did when I left. It's a little bit the other way around when you're hospitable. You're giving of yourself, but they who come receive. That's cool, eh? And then again last week, we spoke about that eternal inheritance. The eternal inheritance that God has for us in heaven. That which is so much more valuable than any of these things. And I want to share a little story, quickly, just a little story. I'm going to end now. I hope what I'm saying is just readjusting, realigning, rebranding this value in us, these things in us. And I even already last week, just feedback from the communities and just people coming to speak to me, I can see this is something got triggered, something got awakened in guys. Guys were like, hey, listen, can we host? something's happening already, but it's not about what's happening already. So I'm not doing this because we need more people to stick up their hands or anything like that. I'm doing this because this is who we need to be going forward for the rest of your lives. This is a value in your heart that you need to carry because it's a kingdom value. It's not a Josh Gen value. It's a biblical value. It's a kingdom value. Amen. So I want to share a quick story with you. We hosted a couple of years ago in our house in Mosselbay, when we were still living in Mosselbay. And they came and they stayed with us, and they were on leadership. And we had an amazing time with them. It was really cool. But the time was really into the leadership team and that. And on them coming, sitting with them, they gave us a word. Remember, it was like he was prophesying. He gave me this word warning me of a time to come where I would need to buckle down and I would need to hold on to the Lord, because my relationship with specific people would be tested, my work situation would be tested. And in that moment, what he was doing, he was warning me and he was giving me hope, because he was like, protect that which the Lord has given you. It's coming. Hold fast. Years go by. Years. 2.5 years, I think it was. Nothing happens, really. You wonder, like, is it this? Is it that? Is it this? Is it that? The moment hits. And my world is shaken. Like, oh. It was shaken. Relationship that was so dear to me was shaken. And I held on to that, reminding me, hold fast. God has you here for a plan and purpose. He's working in you even in this. And the friend of mine that we were at loggerheads with a guy, with one of my friends. It was this incredibly awkward, incredibly uncomfortable situation, but God was doing something in that moment. He was refining something in me in that moment. But I got through that because I had something to hold on to. It was somebody that I'd opened my house to that had shared this word with me 2.5 years beforehand. It's a cool story, eh? Well, it's cool for me. I don't know about you guys. But that moment was so hectic. It might have derailed me. It might have derailed me. But I had something to hold on to because God had come and he had spoken into the situation. There's one more story. I couldn't get a hold of this girl this morning. I wanted to ask her if I can share it. I'm sure she won't mind. But I'm just going to not, you know what, I'm not going to use names. No one can know that. So there's a girl from Cape Town. She comes, how long ago was it, love? 5 years ago? Let's say 5 years ago. She comes down from Cape Town on an outreach. And she lands up staying, we open our house to hosting. She lands up staying with us. Now we don't know this. But this girl, there's quite a bit of brokenness in her, and she's just like, God has been doing an incredible work in her. This is the first time she's stepped out. It's the first outreach she's gone on or anything like that. And we just strike this friendship up with her. She's the most amazing girl. She's such a lovely girl. She's soft, and she's prophetic. She was just so encouraging. She actually encouraged us so much. To this day, we are very, very good friends with her. But something, and I remember her sharing, I think a year or two later, just how much breakthrough she got in her life in that moment, in going, being hosted, experiencing family and love, and it was part of her story of her breakthrough. And to this day, I mean, our kids absolutely love her. She's like, man, I thank the Lord that she stayed with us, because there we have a friend forever in her, because of what he did. And it was a weekend. How incredible is that? Like, I don't want you guys to lose that. I don't want you guys to miss out on that. That, going back to the title of the preach, don't miss out. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So where are we at as a church? How are we doing? think we're doing well. I think God's stirring something up in us. I think he's waking hearts. I think he's lighting fires. And this morning, like, I don't even know if we can respond to that, because I think people are responding to that in their hearts. Things are coming alive in our lives. But if we burn for Jesus, even when people come into our houses, they will catch on fire. So I always want to pull it back to that. Yes, be hospitable. Yes, this is the kingdom. This is what the kingdom looks like. But love Jesus. Love Jesus with all your heart, mind, and soul. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be given to you. And that is the message. Love Jesus. Love people. Amen. Amen. That's all I've got to say. That's all I've got to say. I'm not going to pretend I've got anything else to say. I'm not. I'm ending it right there. That's it. That's what God wants to say this morning. You want to say?